Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, have you heard of Stadium Swim? It is the spot every single Thursday. Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Steve Cofield. Willingly and able to do so as well. Greg Salerno is alongside for comp.
Unwillingly.
Yes, very true. It's very true. Griff, as he is called back in the studio. And I'm very excited for today's show. Now, it's the usual Thursday crew. We're going to have Xavier Pope join us here. At the bottom of the hour, Shannon Kelly, who I believe is in town out in Reno, but for Mount West Media Days. Talk to her about what's going on. Talk some hoops. Talk some football. Brad Powers, professional handicapper, will be with us in his usual 4:45 slot. And then Curtis Terry, we're already texting. Can't wait. Talk about some hoops. NBA season starts in just a couple of days. Can't wait. But I'm excited, Greg, for one main reason. That's because I've never done a show with you before outside of the arena.
You know what? That's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking I had, but it was Adam. It wasn't you. Yeah,
yeah, right. Exactly. So I have no idea what you know, what you like.
Oh, yeah.
What you don't like.
I don't like much of anything. I don't know much of anything either, but I will pretend with the best of them.
We are here at Stadium Swim, so come on out and say what's up. We've got 2 4-packs of UNLV tickets. Boise State, the game. I will be there. I cannot wait for that contest next Friday.
I'll actually be there, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you got some tickets, or what's the
situation? I got tickets.
Okay. So what we did was we set up. I say we. I have a collective.
Oh, you have friends?
I have friends. Now, here's the thing. This is the tricky part.
Weirdo.
This is – trust me. You're going to see where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I really don't have that many friends, but the few acquaintances that I do have, we decided – hey, how much do you think a suite is for a game like this?
Yeah.
If you get enough of us, we break this down, then we could probably get a suite. You know what I mean?
Can I guess how much the suite is?
Sure. So go ahead. Okay. Well, let me tell you first.
All right, yeah.
It's a 16-seat suite on the 25-yard line.
Okay. I'm going to go $3,000. More? Oh, man.
48.
Right. 48?
Yeah.
Okay, if you divide it by 16,
correct.
What is that, like $250?
302.
$300?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. 302 for all you can eat, the drinks,
sure.
Private bathroom. It was sold to me by the guy, Nick, out there that was getting me the suite ready to go. So, but to your point, the trick is you got to find 16 people.
Yeah, totally.
So we've this whole last 4 days, I've been inviting people that I never hang out with. Be like, hey, what are you doing on Friday? What are you doing next Friday?
Just random.
Right, like, you got $300. You want to come down and hang out? So it sounds we're on the verge. We've got 13 guys with 3 tentative invites already hanging in the balance.
Yeah.
So I guess what I'm leading up to is I was going to invite you, but you already got tickets.
Oh. Well, yeah, no, I got tickets. But have they paid already up front?
We're paid up front.
Okay. Because
yeah.
I'd be terrified that, like, the day comes and then all of a sudden you're stuck.
Oh.
You know.
No, you're right. No. I misinterpret what you're saying.
Yeah.
The bill has been paid for the suite. We have not collected yet.
Oh.
Yes. Now, it is a bunch of people. It's not like everybody knows the people that are invited. So it's not like there was like somebody who just showed up and is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody should be able to be tracked down and ready to go, and legs can be broken and easily found if somebody is skipping out on the money.
Now, how much – I don't know what just happened. Okay. How much food and drinks do you think that you need to eat? Like, because I know if I go to a buffet – and it's like a nice one. Sure. Well, they used to have them. I don't know if they still have them on the strip, but they used to have really nice ones. I would like eat extra on purpose because I just paid $50 for the buffet or whatever. So right. I'm getting my money's worth. How much do you think you need to drink and eat to be able to make up for what you're going to pay for this?
I don't know enough, though, that I am Ubering there.
Yeah. All right.
That's the point.
Doing it right then.
Yes, yeah. Like, I am Ubering there. I am Ubering back. We are taking care of it in that fashion. You can get there. The suite opens up an hour and a half before kickoff.
Yeah.
So, like, we're doing this full bore. So we are fired up and ready to go.
That's awesome.
It has been quite the process throughout the week, but it's a big time. UNLV is – this is like the best time I can remember in my life for both UNLV football and then Utah and basketball coming off of a season in which they won 20 games, had won 12 games in conference play. Mount West Media Days are today, so of course we get the standings, or at least the Mountain West Poll media poll. UNLV got 2 first-place votes. They were picked 5th. But it's an exciting time for UNLV Athletics right now.
It really is, and I've been saying the same thing. I've lived here for, I guess, 20 years now, on and off, and I've never been excited for, like, a UNLV football season before.
Right.
This is, like, the first – like, I almost am mad they have a bye because watching that Syracuse game, I got so pissed off at the end of the game that I'm like, oh, my God, I want them to come out and, like, you know, get retribution right away or make this up right away. And now we have to wait to go, you know, the Boise game. So it's like I've never felt like this before where I actually am, like, so into the season.
Yep. So basketball, of course, the season's just around the corner as well. We're just a little bit of a month away. UNLV's got a pretty good core. I can't wait to see it. DJ Thomas, the best young guard in the Mountain West, which we're going to see in action yet again. I am not a fan. I try not to be a fan, especially because we cover these guys. Having said that, the closest I will be to a fan is of DJ Thomas. The kid has been phenomenal. I can't wait to watch the team in action. And we'll have more on hoops a little bit later when Shannon Kelly joins us. But it is Thursday night. We are out here for Thursday night football at Stadium Swim here at Circa. So make sure you come down and say what's up. Again, 4 packs of tickets to Boise State next Friday. I'll come say what's up. You come by, you get these 4 pack of Boise tickets, and then we'll meet up and I'll get you a beer. How about that? But Thursday night football, Broncos and Saints. So how are you feeling coming into this thing? I want to know where you stand. I don't care about the Saints. Talk about them. Yes, there's like a bunch of guys out. Chris Olave is not going to play. Rashid Shaheed's not going to play. Whatever. Where do you stand with Denver and Bo Nix and how this season has played out to this point?
You know, it's funny because I wasn't sure what to think about Denver going in. Like, I was like, they were like one of my bigger boomer bust teams where they could either be horrible or actually surprise some people. And, like, you know, Sean Payton with the second year of the team. But I thought that the quarterback thing where they kind of had a little tiff with each other, I thought that was kind of a good thing, honestly. It was kind of like they had like a veteran rapport with each other already, you know, Bo Nix and Sean Payton. And I feel like last year around this time is when they kind of went on, I want to say, a big run, but they actually played better football down the stretch last year. The Broncos did. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if something started, especially with the Saints. You know, obviously they had injuries, all that stuff. If the Broncos started a little tiny bit of a run today,
I think they stink.
Yeah.
I think Bo Nix stinks. Now, yeah. Within reason, like, I don't think he's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. But so today we have this situation, as you mentioned. Bub Means has been the name that's thrown out there. Everybody's making fun of, like, ha ha ha, like, right, this guy, we don't know who he is, but he's going to be the lead receiver for the New Orleans Saints. And it's a bad situation for New Orleans considering the injury, especially offensive line, too, is a little dinged up. Having said that, I don't know what I'm trusting here when I'm watching Bo Nix. He's been awful. He has been terrible.
He has. Well, that's why I was bringing up, because last year, I remember how Russell Wilson, everybody's like, he's washed, sure, which he might be. But everybody's like, he's washed, he's done, forget about it, get him out of there, why is he playing? And then down the stretch, he kind of looked okay. Like, he looked like a Sean Payton offense, at least. Mm. And I think maybe that'll happen here. Now, again, you're right. I mean, we have no evidence so far that Bo Nix can play. But I just feel like, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen now again, especially going to the team with all these injuries.
And some of the numbers, like, he's been awful in first halves. Yard per attempt, he's last, 4.1. He's got no passing touchdowns in the first half. Pass rating in the first half, dead last, 59.4. EPA per dropback, last, at a negative 0.5. So essentially what that says is, when he drops back in the first half, you are adding a half point to your opponent. That's pretty bad, right? That's pretty bad. But I also will say that I think that my gauge of Bo Nix is slightly altered by the fact that I'm not a big Sean Payton fan.
That makes sense.
You know? Yeah. Like, so, like, any little negative thing, like I'm a Colts fan, right? So, like, Anthony Richardson, if he does it, it's like he's learning. If Bo Nix, does it, like, this guy sucks. Look at it, I told you, he's terrible. It's probably not fair on my part.
I think that rookies these days, it used to be you give guys 2-3 years, you know, before you even started saying that they were good. I remember McNabb didn't even play. You know, as soon as they threw him in there, they didn't expect him to be good for years. And nowadays, it's like if you don't start off within your – like Bryce Young, what do you have, like, you know, 17 passes and now he's not playing at all? So I feel like guys don't get enough time, and we'll see what happens with him. But, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at evidence again that he's going to be great, we haven't seen it so far.
Yeah, and Sean Payton, of course, the storyline here, the return to New Orleans later tonight. So that'll be a lot of fun. The angle's there. They have to boo him mercilessly, right? Like, the Saints are the team to root for in this narrative, are they not?
Of course, yeah. No, I don't like him either, Sean Payton, by the way.
Okay, good.
Personally, I don't like him. As far as being a coach, I think he's probably a pretty good coach. But, I think the Saints are going to be on one, and they're going to want to beat him really bad. I just feel like if they were healthy, I'd be way more confident in the Saints because I'm a big emotion guy. You know, as far as going into games, I always feel like the hot team, emotion, that kind of thing. But I just don't feel like they're going to have enough, man. You know, whether or not we like Sean Payton, they're going to out-roster them, I think.
Yeah, short week, going on the road to a new weird environment. Right. Home field hasn't really been that much, so we'll see if that's actually worth it at this point right now. But I did put a bet in on the Saints. Took 3.
So what'd you get? Oh, you took 3? Okay.
So we're going to be in on this. It's not going to start until later in the show, so we'll have plenty of time to lead up to this. But you're right, it's probably not fair, but I just don't really like Sean Payton.
I don't think a lot of people do, though.
Yeah, like the arrogance is there. the fact that the way he's spoken and treated the media at times.
Yeah.
Like the thought of just like he can do no wrong. You go back to a few weeks ago where they're losing 13-6 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he kicks the ball off, and he doesn't have the right amount of timeouts, and he has to get the ball back with like 10 seconds, and he's like being arrogant. The guy is so easy to root against.
Yeah, ever since Bountygate, too, I think a lot of people turned on him and stuff, too. Yeah, he doesn't seem like a very likable guy, but a lot of times that's what, you know, I mean, Belichick's not a very likable guy either. He had some success, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but Belichick's at least, I think Belichick's likable. Like, he's got.
Like, the players like him, but other people don't see it.
He's got a giant chest, you know. He's got a supple bosom.
Dude.
He's barrel-chested,
man. Ring doorbell video, man, and him coming out of the house. I was like, damn, dude.
All he does is bench, right?
Yeah. Like, he skips leg day, like, every day. Yeah.
So, like, Belichick's likable. His takedown of the Jets the other day on Monday Night Football and Woody John, like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was great. It made him more relatable. Like, I've never watched anything with Sean Payton and gone, yeah, get this guy.
Yeah, it's true. He does have, like, I don't know how you feel about Mangini, but have you seen Mangini on some of the shows
or whatever? Yeah.
He kind of has that personality a little bit where it's like, all right, you know, it's kind of like a dead fish kind of.
Right, he's kind of robotic, just like that. And Mangini at least doesn't have the arrogance, but Sean Payton's at least.
That's
like,
true.
He's just so, ugh. So we'll see. Hey, look, you're right. They have stolen a couple of wins, I would very much say. And they beat the crap out of the Raiders, right? That was when everything kind of went sideways in the Raiders season. I think it was already kind of heading in that direction. But that game really seems to break the Raiders in a really big way.
I know.
And it, you know. Maybe has some ramifications as it leads up to today. So I tell you what, when we come back, let's take a break. On the other side, let's talk about this because the brand new part owner showed up with his giant water bottle. He was getting the Kings treatment. Tom Brady is here. Will he finally save the Las Vegas Raiders?
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
What role do you expect Tom Brady to play in your organization?
Well, you know, it's kind of putting the cart before the horse. We wanted to get to this point first before we started defining anything of that nature and all that. But it's just exciting. What I was going to say is we traded Devontae Adams for Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was lame. That's a rich Caucasian laugh right there, you know what I mean? You start to laugh like that once you start to get money, right?
I think so.
You could judge people.
I wouldn't know because I don't have any. But
right. How
I
do you laugh? Yeah, right.
That's the broke laugh.
See, that's not a very rich laugh. Nah. I'm getting there, though. I'm getting there. Yeah. Greg Salerno and Jonathan Von Tobel with you here. Steve Cofield is apparently off, so he told me to do the show.
Oh, he's not coming today?
Yeah, no, he's
out. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so apparently he's in, I don't know, Griff, can you corroborate this? Is he in New Orleans, I believe? Is that the case?
I was not given that information.
Oh, okay.
But all I know is he's...
Can you give me the longitude and latitude of where he is right now?
Man, I couldn't even give you any type of longitude or latitude. I don't know how that works. I don't know how to say all that.
It's fair.
I think it's measured in degrees.
Yeah, they have it on, if you're on Google, you can actually switch to it. If you put like a pin there.
Really?
Yeah. So just put a pin wherever he is, like a dot on the internet, and then we'll know where he's at.
You're a big geography guy,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know. Well, I do a lot of exploring.
Okay.
As Griage.
As we said, we're learning more and more about each other.
Yeah, I have an alter ego, Griage, as a photographer.
Ooh.
And he goes out a lot and does photos and whatnot, so I got to know a lot of degrees and you know, directions.
That takes me back, because back in my producer days for Cofield Company, for about like a month or two, we had convinced our audience for a little bit that I liked to do perform at underground hip-hop clubs around Las Vegas.
What was your name?
Whitewash.
That was my name.
So then
late.
All right. And then I recorded. So we built up this, like, yeah, we'll play you a sample of it. And I went in the edit bay and I recorded like some terrible some terrible verse to Ain't
so
No
great.
Fun If The Homies Can't Have None.
That is so great.
Yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. It used to be in the system, but I think it's deleted now at this point. But
you gotta drop an album on Spotify or something.
Yeah, right. Whitewash isn't terrible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I used to perform in clubs with masks on, so that's why nobody ever saw me.
Oh, you're like what's that guy, the mouse head guy?
Dead Mouse.
Yeah, like Dead Mouse.
That's a dated reference at this point right now. I don't know if he's like that popular anymore.
Well, okay. It's a guy that wore a mouse on his head.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
All right, so you heard it coming back. I was gonna make reference to whatever's on top of Mark Davis' head. You heard Mark Davis.
Oh yeah.
And the comments about the new part owner, Tom Brady. He's here. See the pictures? See the videos?
Well, I saw the picture of somebody photoshopped Mark Davis's bangs onto Tom Brady. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. I got a question. And you would know more than me, probably. Okay. Well, most likely. What the hell does that mean that he's part owner? I mean, I get it. He invested money in the team. But, right. Like, what does that allow him to do that he couldn't do before?
I mean, he's got partial ownership. I would assume there's some financial kickback of some form or fashion.
But, I mean, is he in meetings? Like, all right, draft this guy, get rid of this guy?
He's got influence, yeah.
Yeah?
That's part of I don't think we played it there, but part of what Dave has said at one point in the league meetings when this was being discussed the other day was that the potential hope was that Tom Brady would not only help them draft a quarterback – but also train him.
Yeah. Another thing I was going to ask you, because he's been broadcasting, obviously, now, and they gave him $1 zillion, and I don't think he's been very good.
Not me, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yes. Oh, yeah. Does that affect now anything that he can say on air versus what he could say before, now that he's a
partner? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It changes everything. So he's not allowed in other teams' facilities. He's not allowed. So this is like for Fox, right? Part of the gamut would be you go, you have these meetings with these teams, media-wise, all that kind of stuff. Not allowed to do any of that. Not allowed to criticize officials on the air at all. There's like a laundry list of things that he cannot
do. How can he do his job then?
He was doing it poorly already.
Yeah, it's true.
Like if you ever listen to him, you think we say nothing.
Yeah.
You go and listen to Tom Brady. He says absolutely nothing. The only time he let his guard down, I don't know if you remember, this was like 3 weeks ago, they had the Buccaneers-Eagles game.
The Baker Mayfield comment.
That was the only time he was ever, and because it was about him.
Yeah, I know.
That was the only time he was ever genuine.
He's passionate.
Because he got all mad. He's like, well, I thought not winning Super Bowls was fun. Like, dude. So he says absolutely nothing the entire time.
Yeah.
And then to your point, now it's even restricted. And frankly, if you're Fox, you're like, what the hell?
I know.
We gave you all this money. You used part of that to go invest.
Yeah, exactly.
And then now you can't do anything.
He used the money he got from Fox to make it so now he can't talk on Fox.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm amazed by it. But I will say this, because I think I come across, and I probably come across as somewhat negative and very critical of the Raiders, because I think it's deserved. I don't think the organization has done a very good job. I don't think that they're heading in the right direction. I think it is a team that has constantly been spinning its wheels since they've been out here, and I think part of that looks pretty poor when you got as much money as you did to build that stadium, and now you're just collecting gate and sitting back getting fat and happy on it.
Right.
You owe the people in this city to put out a winning product and to do something good. No more Jimmy Garoppolo, no more Gardner Minshew, no more nonsense. Strip it down, build it back up. We deserve a sustained and winning product out there. So I am hoping that Tom Brady will influence this and actually be a part of a change in culture with this team.
As a person from Las Vegas, obviously I'm an Eagles fan. I let that known quite a bit, but I want the Raiders to win because they're Las Vegas, and I just want Vegas teams to do well. Do you think that Tom Brady will be a good thing in the way that he will? Because last season, offseason, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what it would have cost. They could have tried to trade up for Jaden Daniels. They could have done a lot of things. Mm-hmm. They made a huge move and done something. If they were going to trade Devontae anyway, they could have done it last draft. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done to get a quarterback in there. Do you think Tom Brady will be that last push they need? Like, hey, dude, you need a quarterback to win.
Sure. I mean, I actually think it's, as somebody who is as critical of this team as I am, I think it's somewhat unfair to say you should have gotten Jaden Daniels, only because there's
maybe not Jaden Daniels specifically. Sorry to cut you off. But I mean, just there's things that you could have done. Extreme measures need to be taken. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, let's, again, we'll bring back, I'm wearing my Andrew Luck jersey. I'm a Colts fan. Could have gotten Joe Flacco in terms of the quarterback, right? He just won comeback player of the year. It's not like you think he's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, but again, if you were going to go with stopgap guy who could start some games for you, why not sign the guy that just brought the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs? And granted, they got smoked when they got there, but still, right? Like, that's a guy that kind of helped you out. Probably better than the dude that he actually just replaced in Gardner Minshew, who, yes, was a play away from getting the Colts to the playoffs, but if you looked at everything, you kind of saw, like, there's a limit to this. Whatever, right?
Yeah,
you can do whatever you want. But I'll just say, I think that just from everything, when you talk about catering to the players, one of which is now gone, to hire Antonio Pierce now kind of constantly, as I keep putting it, stepping on the rakes and hitting himself in the face.
Sure.
Right? What is the Simpsons reference? Somebody told me he's a Sideshow Bob.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I remember from Tom and Jerry did it, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you know, just stepping on the rakes, constantly getting in it. And I don't think that we have seen this team. One of the things that's bothered me over the last few years is that it is a team that believes it is a quarterback away from being competitive, when I think if you realistically look at this roster, it is not. And hopefully, Tom Brady will at least change that mindset and make them think, all right, maybe we do need to – maybe they won't strip it down to the studs. We got Mark Davis to talk about this. We got the comments just today that a rebuild is not in the plans. I think it should be, but whatever. But maybe Brady will get them to rethink the way they're going to see this and not just try to spin their wheels constantly and think that they're – because if you think you're a X away from competing, that changes the way you approach building your team.
Yes.
And you should approach building your team as a squad that really does not compare with any of the top teams in football right now.
I know we disagree on this because we talked about it on the Arena yesterday, the most listened to show in the nation right now on right. ESPN Las Vegas. And we were talking about the quarterback position. I feel like every team's a quarterback away. Like, now, I'm not saying you get a great quarterback and you win a Super Bowl immediately. But I feel like if you have a great quarterback, you're gonna make the playoffs. Even if your team, if your roster's not that great. Like, if you take one of the better quarterbacks of any of the teams that are decent right now, they suck. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what the Raiders are right now. They don't have a quarterback. I'm not saying they're an amazing roster, but I feel like the roster looks so much worse because they don't have a quarterback.
I think it is made worse by the fact that an offense is not very good, and that obviously starts with your quarterback, right, to your point. But I do think that when you look at them defensively, there's more holes on this defense than I think they initially thought. I think that when you watched last year, it was a team that competed against a lot of backup quarterbacks and bad offenses, and that really made them think a lot more of this defense than was reality. Now, again, they've gone through a lot of injuries, so that's a very fair point to make. But regardless, when you watch this team and you know what the roster is when it's whole, do you honestly think, let's even say an above average, do you think plopping in Kirk Cousins or any of these guys is going to make this team all of a sudden a team that is on par with Baltimore, a team that is on par with Kansas City, a team that is on par with any of those?
It would have to be a big move. I mean, they would have to go out there and trade multiple first-round picks for somebody who's really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I still think it's doable. I mean, look what happened to the Commanders this year. All of a sudden now they're considered a contender because they have a young stud rookie quarterback.
And that's my point. That's the goal. That is the goal. Because, again, Anthony Richardson might suck, but you know what? I got hope, and I'm willing to
And with Steichen, I mean, right. He's great.
So. And I might watch Colts games now. I might be willing to go to a Colts game. I might be willing to go to a Colts game, right? They come out here to L.A., whatever it is.
Sure.
I've actually got hope, and I care about the team now again instead of just being, they're dead to me, whatever. Like, I don't really care anymore.
No,
and that's what you necessarily need. That's what you need. You need sustained greatness, and they just don't have it right now. I don't think they're built for that right now. And Mark Davis has been saying no rebuild. And I think that every person in this city should want that. You should want sustained greatness, but we'll see what's going to happen. We're going to get to Max Crosby coming up a little bit later because he says he's here to win as well, not rebuild. And we'll get into a package that maybe would look like from a team like Detroit for Max Crosby. But on the other side, I do have something to say. Greg and I are learning a lot about each other. And the thing you're going to learn on the other side is I am a Clippers fan. And yet again, we were led astray, bamboozled by these liars out there in Southern California.
Live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas,
it's Cofield and Company.
All right, I got excited. Good thing. Sorry, I didn't want to get in trouble. We were talking about a lot of different things right there. Greg Salerno is here. Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Steve Cofield. It's probably going to be absolute madness today. I don't know what to tell you, folks. It's a nice day outside. Steve is not here, and that's when I like to just do whatever I want, for the most part.
Yeah. That's how I did it anyway, but.
Do I want to bring this on the air? Am I allowed to bring this on the air?
Yeah, go ahead. I don't care.
So you're going to be a judge for the.
Well, okay, don't bring it up yet.
Oh, okay.
Not because. Yeah, I might be a. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to bring it up yet, only because I don't know some things yet.
Okay, all right. We won't do it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, but either way, it sounds like a dream job.
Yeah, I might be a judge of something that may be really cool.
That's right. So. The reality is I'm trying not to talk about the topic that is at hand right now.
Yeah.
So we get news today. You're a hoops guy, right?
I love it. Yeah. Love it.
So I'm a Clippers fan.
Yes.
And that means that, of course, I have followed in great detail the saga of Kawhi Leonard since he has been a member of the Los Angeles Clippers. So we get news today, Greg, that Kawhi is out indefinitely to start the regular season.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things here. I want to say first and foremost, a lot of the conversation about Kawhi Leonard was, especially at the end of last year, Stephen A. Smith really brought it up like, hey, he should retire.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think that's fair. Case in point, Lonzo Ball just made his return from a very arduous journey.
Played well, too.
Yeah. Played well, got a standing ovation, and you're a hoops guy, so I'm going to speak for you maybe, but I think it's great that he's back.
It's amazing.
It's an awesome story, right? So you never want to take that away from a guy because if Kawhi Leonard's truly battling something here and he wants to overcome it, what happens if he does, right?
Sure.
God forbid, what happens if he does? So that's number one. But, there's your big but here. Being a Clippers fan, we'll go back 3 years ago. when Kawhi Leonard initially gets hurt against the Utah Jazz in the Western Conference semifinals. He hurts his knee. They list him as questionable for the rest of the postseason run. Remember, they made it to the Western Conference Finals against the Phoenix Suns. I'll never forget the valley-oop, stupid DeAndre Ayton with less than like 2 seconds left to go, whatever. Yeah. It was the stupidest thing in the world. Okay? In that offseason, he's got to get ACL surgery. He's out for the rest of the He's out for the entire next year. They list him as questionable the whole way. The whole way.
Right, right.
Okay. Finally comes back. We see them get to the playoffs. They get to go play the Phoenix Suns in the first round. Kawhi Leonard in the first game, incredible. Goes head-to-head with Kevin Durant, shuts his ass down. They win game one in Phoenix. I'm pumped because nobody believed. Everybody thought they were going to get whooped. And I saw that team, and they were the best team on the floor. And I was like, they're going to win this series. Comes out in game two. Isn't that effective? Then he's out the next game. He's questionable. At the end of it, nah, he was never going to play. Okay?
Yeah.
So then you fast forward, and we get this nonsense again at the end of last year where, unfortunately, he gets hurt. They try to bring him back this time. Doesn't really work against Dallas. Looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah.
Ultimately, does not play the rest of the series. They get eliminated by Dallas. We get to the Olympics in the summer. Trust me, this is going somewhere. We get to the Olympics in the summer. If you remember, he was on the Olympic team. And then he left, and part of the drama was that Team USA didn't feel that he was healthy. Okay?
Yeah.
The Clippers are indignant in the how could you do this? He's fine. Lo and behold, he has a knee procedure after he leaves the Olympics.
Right.
But media days at the start of last month, I'll be ready. I tweeted it out. Can't wait for the start of the season. We expect him to be ready. We get the news today that he's out indefinitely. Stop lying.
Yeah.
It is driving me insane. And you know it. You know it every single time. But every step of the way, this team has lied about his status, about his health, about how they're handling it. They have lied every single step of the way. Stop urinating on us and tell us that it's raining the entire time. I hope he gets healthy. I hope that he rests. I am very pro player. He needs to. It's very important. Clearly, he's got some lower body issues, and that could be devastating for basketball players, for any athlete. But the fact that they continue to try to pull the wool over everybody's eyes when he's clearly not healthy is absolutely maddening to me, and it happens every time this guy gets injured, and I can't do it anymore.
You know, I don't want to be mean about it, but I kind of think, like, to your point about him retiring, I'm not necessarily saying that he should retire because he's been out so much. I feel like it's almost, on his part, kind of disrespectful to take them. I mean, he, you know, he keeps signing these contracts, he keeps going on new teams. People forget, this started with the Spurs before he even won championships, you know, with the Raptors.
All the way back to the Zaza Pachulia contest late on. Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, and then he was sitting out there, and they had and the same thing again. The team doesn't know what's going on. He's not telling the doctors. He wants a second opinion. The doctors say he's okay. He said he's not okay. He doesn't want to go in. So, at this point, is it the Clippers? The common denominator seems to be Kawhi.
Well, the common denominator is Kawhi, but the Clippers, by all accounts, are very much part of this. Again, the Clippers are the ones that chose to list him as questionable, even though they know he knew he had a torn ACL.
But did he tell them something wrong? And then, you know, so you think that they have
they do medical tests. They know, right? They're testing your knees. They know you have a partially torn ACL, right? These doctors are doing stuff. So I think the disconnect comes in when he's healed. Is he ready? Does he feel comfortable? That's when that kind of started to come up.
Yeah.
But you know when a guy has a torn ACL. You know, Greg, that he's going to have a procedure on his knee. You know. You know all of these things. You know that after he had the knee procedure, that he wasn't going to be ready at the start of the season. You know that. And you're the ones that choose to deliver the message of, like, right, beginning of the season, he'll be ready. Just stop. So there's no point.
So there's no chance in your mind that he's misleading them, and they're just covering for him, and the media saying, like, oh, no, we didn't, you know.
No, whatever. Because they would get because they're getting destroyed, and you go through certain processes when it comes to the knee itself. Again, if there's some disconnect in terms of when he's telling them, I'm ready to go, like when it comes to actual game time, maybe there's something there. But these are things that the team knows ahead of time. And I will go, I will take this and go, remember, they're opening up a new arena.
Yes.
Okay? I want to go. I want to check it out. There is probably somebody out there that not only wants to check it out, but wants to see Kawhi Leonard play.
Right.
Saw the media availability at the beginning of the beginning of media days and said, oh, he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season. Let me buy my new expensive tickets to this big arena and go watch. And now all of a sudden he's not going to be ready. There's going to be somebody out there, there probably already somebody is, that gets burned like that. That's what drives me nuts. Stop lying about it.
So
you're bomber. You're jumping around, drooling on yourself, bleh, whatever. Do you, at this point, move on from Kawhi? Do you figure out a way to just get him off the team so you can just start something new? Or are you, I mean, what are you doing at this point?
No. Because, you go back to last year. And then this is the most maddening part about all of this. Go back to last year when they were, 28-6 over the course of like a 34-game run. He looked like peak Kawhi. Go back to that Phoenix series that I referenced.
Yeah,
he was on a
on defense too, which is weird. How do you play defense with no knee? I don't know.
In a game in which he was on the same floor as Kevin Durant, he was the best player. When he is healthy, they are great. He is great. Right now, this version of whatever's around him this year, we can pick it too, whether we can quibble. I don't know if they're going to be that good. But like, he's great when he plays. That's the problem. That's why you don't get rid of him. That's why you keep doing this. And granted, he wanted the contract extension. He wanted security because he knows what's going on with the knee. But that I think, is why you don't stop doing this. But what you can stop doing is you can stop misleading people. You can stop lying about what his status is. Because that is the thing that I think gets them so much crap that people are laughing at, that mock me. I'm a Clippers fan. I get mocked all the time. I'm tired of it.
He owns L.A.
That's right.
Again, I'm not trying to, play devil's advocate or whatever, overly, beat a dead horse. But if they knew about all this stuff, wouldn't they have made better plans with the roster then going in? Because now without them, they don't even look like a playoff team, really.
Well, correct. And I think the big criticism is, why would you be willing to give him the extension but not be willing to give Paul George the extension? And right. Correct. And that's a little, Paul George had such bad luck. I mean, that's hyperextension.
Like, I know. That's
you
crazy.
Watch the play. Like, what are you supposed to do in that regard? No, to your point, they deserve criticism for that. They tried to say, "Oh, new apron, CBA, all that stuff." You could have paid them because the way it lined up, you would have been perfectly fine with Harden, all that kind of stuff. You would have been out of it. You would have been fine. They just didn't want to pay him, and they messed up on that because, to your point, you're in a much better position if you have James Harden and Kawhi Leonard and the additions you made to start the year, or should be James Harden and Paul George to start the year, and Kawhi Leonard sidelined. But now, again, I like this team. Can't wait to watch them. UNLV's own Derek Jones Jr. is going to be there, starting at power forward, right? And you got Ivica Zubac and James Harden and Terrence Mann and Norm Powell, and that's your starting lineup. And it's not really a team that looks like they're going to be insanely competitive.
It's a shame, too, because as far as Clippers history goes, I know you're a Clippers fan, so you know better than me, but just watching basketball my whole life, like, they've always been kind of a doormat, and they're just now getting their identity, getting a new stadium, being their own thing. And they're going to have the newest stadium in L.A., So to have this happen right now is such a bad timing.
Well, L.A. is a spot to be, though, too, because Dodgers look like they're on the verge of going to the World Series. So when we come back, let's talk about it with Xavier Pope. Maybe he can calm me down, host the suit-up news. I'm very angry about what's going on, of course, in the world of L.A.
Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
Cover the company out here at Stadium Swim, circa the spot. I got 2 4-packs of tickets to UNLV Boise State next Friday, so if you want to come by, say what's up, it's Cabana 7, and we'll hook you up with a pair. But you heard it, Xavier Pope is with us here. Xavier, we appreciate the time, and I apologize, a second consecutive week, I believe, without Steve Cofield. I might just Wally Pip him. I'm just incredible at this. But how are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good, John, man. How you doing, man?
So I'm not great, actually. By the way, that's a good segue. Have you ever been at a party? I ran into somebody I hadn't seen in like 10, 12, like 15 years and asked how they were doing. They were like, actually, I'm not great, man. And I was like, nah. The exchange.
It's a rhetorical
Xavier,
question.
Yeah, like the exchange, Xavier, is supposed to be like, I'm good.
At least you got to fake like you're good or something. I don't know.
Right.
I can't. But that's not fake it till you make it, because he's already been made and now he's unmade. So, unfortunately.
Now, I will say, this is topical. I saw you tweeting about this. I'm not good because I don't think you know this about me. I am a Clippers fan. I am one of dozens. And we get the news today that Kawhi Leonard, of course, is being shut down for the foreseeable future. We'll see what happens with him later this year. And I'm not mad at Kawhi, because I think a lot of people go straight to the retirement thing, and we can get to that angle, because I think it's unfair to ask an athlete who's trying to dominate an injury that's clearly bothering him for a long time to retire. But what I'm upset about is the Clippers continue to lie about his status year in and year out. In fact, I retweeted a headline from Media Days saying, can't wait for the start of opening day. He's going to be ready. This is what irritates me about the Leonard situation. It's not him not being available. It's the team constantly lying about his status that I can't stand anymore.
Well, the team has invested in him, John. So I think that's the most important part. So it's not necessarily them lying. they're being hopeful because you know that Kawhi Leonard, he's been really close to the vest in how he's handled his career. And he's been really strategic, and he's put himself in a position that he gets to dictate the terms of how he plays, when he plays, when he sits out, how long he sits out. So the Clippers are pretty much at Kawhi Leonard's mercy in terms of how he's navigating his career as he gets older, able to be a more effective athlete on the court and keep him fresh for games.
Where do you stand on the media pundits telling him he should retire, how he should handle his own body?
Yeah, listen, Kawhi Leonard is a grown-ass man. He can do whatever he wants. And so I think that that's the most important thing to remember. And obviously he can get criticized. People can tell him to retire, and they have had opinions about it. But ultimately those decisions will be made by Kawhi Leonard and his family.
You know, we talked about this earlier, John and I. How much of this, not trying to, you know, play devil's advocate, but how much of this is on Kawhi? Because even back with the Spurs, it seems like he always has a disconnect with his doctors. Like, whatever he tells the doctors or whatever they're telling him or whatever they're telling the fans is always different than what Kawhi winds up doing. How much of this is on Kawhi and him keeping it too close to the vest? And, like, you know, you're taking a contract with guaranteed money. Don't you have to be honest with everybody?
Come on. Every single player is going to make decisions for their body sometimes against the best interest of their body. That's how we've had to – that's why we have unions and we have to have collective bargaining agreements, and that's what we have to have various clauses and contracts in relation to players. And same thing goes with teams when they hold guys out, when they – get bonus incentives on their contract, acting like they're hurt. And so we can't act like this is a one-way thing. This is the interest that teams and owners and as well as the players do to be able to make sure they maximize the amount of money they make and get the most value out of their contract, no matter they're one side of the deal or the other.
But going forward, I mean, I agree with you. He should get paid, obviously. Sign a contract, get hurt, whatever. But going forward, like, how do the Clippers, if they never know exactly what he's doing or what's going on, like, how do the Clippers plan around him, you know, for the season?
I mean, that's the player that they sign, right? That's one of the ultimately either there's going to be benefits or there's going to be some cost that you have to pay, opportunity cost of getting maybe younger and getting some players that are healthy on that team. When you have Kawhi Leonard, you have James Harden, you know how long he's going to be effective for that team. So that team is pretty much stuck in its stasis until they make decisions that's going to be most beneficial to them and maybe not holding up the career of Kawhi Leonard.
Xavier Pope with us, lawyer, hosts the Suit Up News, joins us every single Thursday at this time. All right, well, let's stick in L.A. Are you happy that the Coastal Elites might get their World Series, that we're going to see Dodgers-Yankees potentially? It seems like the most likely matchup, or do we dig this?
I don't know about the Coastal Elites. I think that these are just teams that are stocked, and these are the two most valuable sports properties, both of them top five in Major League Baseball. And so they spent the money, but that doesn't always work. In terms of team, well, the Mets are good this year. They spend a ton of money, but it doesn't always work out for teams. And so if you see ultimately those teams in the World Series, that's going to drive ratings. That's great for baseball in terms of business of baseball.
We don't want Mets-Yankees, though, right? Like this, Dodgers-Yankees is the way to go.
We already had the Subway Series, right? And it happened at a time that was different for the country, and it had a different – tenor in terms of what it meant. This is just, hey, New York versus L.A. Glitz, glamour, all the stars, all the lights, the biggest names in the game. Major League Baseball gets to put on a showcase for its sport.
Talking to Xavier Pope, how much would this mean, you think, for the Yankees? I mean, obviously the Dodgers-Yankees have a big history, Brooklyn Dodgers, all that stuff. But how much does this mean for the Yankees? They haven't won anything since 2009. At least the Dodgers have won one in the last few years. I mean, would this be a big deal, or are people going to look at it like, oh, you just dodged the Astros, basically?
You are a citizen of New York City. You have been a Yankees fan since you were a kid. You've had fans screaming at George Steinbrenner for years. This is what's expected of the New York Yankees, is to win a championship. So that's what they come into every season. If they don't do that or put themselves in a position to do that, the fans are extremely upset. They're booing the team. They're letting them know what they feel about it. And so we're New York, we're Yankees, we're the winners, we always are the winners. That's what it does for them. It just continues the streak of that team being the model franchise in Major League Baseball.
Xavier, are you a White Sox fan, a Cubs fan?
I'm not a fan of either team. I grew up watching and rooting for those teams, but I have a different perspective about sports and rooting for teams per se. But I did grow up on the South Side, but I did grow up really as a kid mostly watching Cubs games because that's what the availability was on television growing up. But the Cubs are twice as much value as the White Sox. So the Cubs are a marquee team. The White Sox are a mid-value team. And we're talking about potentially the White Sox maybe getting bought out and what they leave the city. But come on, if you're in a position in the third largest media market and you are sitting there at the most valuable franchise in your division, by the way, and these other Midwestern teams, over at one of the first half of teams that are worth over $2 billion, you're not going to say go to Nashville or maybe go to the Bay Area and Oakland in a smaller market with a team that's led up by Dave Stewart and an ownership group and then take it out of the city. I just don't see it happening, guys.
So I'm just curious, too, like from that perspective, again, I'm a Clippers guy, so I root for the little guy out here in L.A. I'm an Angels fan. I root for the little guy out here in Southern California, even though I'm in Las Vegas. Like the dynamic in the city, White Sox, Cubs, all that kind of stuff, like what are we looking at here when we're talking about fan support? How big is it? What's that dynamic like?
See, they're not the little guy, though. The Angels are one of the top 15 value franchises in professional sports. In terms of Major League Baseball, any team you have in the Los Angeles area is going to be worth a ton of money. The New York Mets, people talk about them, but they're one of the top 10 worst franchises in professional sports. Like I said, the top 15 for the White Sox. And so when you look at maybe smaller markets, it may mean differently, but you're not really the big. The Clippers, they're not the small guys. They still are the big fries in terms of those teams, relative teams to smaller markets.
Talking to Xavier Pope, and I wanted to get your take on this. I know you're big on Twitter. I love Twitter. I used to love it before it turned into X and Elon, that moron, ruined it and everything. But I'm wondering about this block feature thing now. I don't even really understand it. I don't understand how it's blocked, but it's not. Like, how is this going to work, do you know?
Well, I got the alert today, and it basically is if you block someone, they just can't interact with you, but they can still see your content. And so, to me, all that just gives them the opportunity to do is to screenshot what you've wrote and then get other people to harass you. It takes down one of the guardrails of making sure of harassment, and that's what Elon Musk has been repeatedly talked about in terms of allowing disinformation on this platform. He's valuing this platform. Why would you allow for more abuse instead of putting more guardrails up for less?
There's nothing, I mean, because you're signing up, right? You're willingly signing up for the website. My first thought was like, right, stalkers, Xavier stalkers who, like, we're not even talking about political stuff, whatever. It's just if you've seen somebody who has been harassing and stalking somebody, now you could see where this person is at. If something comes of that, there is nothing legal that can happen, right? Like, with them removing this feature, because I feel like I've taken the precautions, I have blocked this person, and now they can see still what I am doing.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to have, Section 230 prevent the social media companies from being liable for different actions of its users on this platform. You see there is a current suit going versus TikTok in terms of them targeting youth in terms of the engagement and getting them addicted. That has a different notion, and that could potentially break through 230. But unless you have a definitive evidence that they are doing this for the sole purpose of people getting harassed, it's going to pass legal muster. It's just something that makes the platform less attractive from a sociological standpoint with people looking at what online harassment and what it does to people.
All right, Xavier, we always appreciate some time. Before we let you go, what do you got going on? What's up at Suit Up News?
Hey, follow me at Xavier Pope, Xavier Pope. Find out all the latest news on Xavier Pope.
Thank you, Xavier. Always appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Take care, man.
You're supposed to say I love you too.
I love you too.
There we go. He's probably already hung up by now.
I know, he probably did.
He's a very swift hanger-upper.
Yeah, he's busy. Busy man.
I wish to wish. So I missed like the old class of hang-up. So I used to have, remember the slide-up phones?
Oh, yeah.
I used to hang up really cool, like, especially if I was sitting in my bed. I would just drop it and it would like.
Yeah, it's kind of like cocking a shotgun with one hand. That's
yeah,
cool.
Exactly. Yeah, that's good. It's a way to do it. All right, when we come back, we got our big 4-4 coming up. We have a lot to get to there. And apparently, speaking of New York and the Coastal Elite, some of these folks, man, they think they're important and really they're not. Fireman Ed, what's your problem?